This week's mailbag comes to us from Sherry from Facebook. I have a Sunday basket win to share. I assist with my elderly mom's finances and paperwork due to her diminishing vision. She is currently out of town and I'm overseeing a remodel on her home. I have a slash pocket for the remodel invoices and the plans. Last night, I received the final bill for one of the services. It varied by $200. So I sent a text to the foreman with a questionable amount, and it was straightened out today, within 24 hours on the spot. It ended up saving my mom that $200. It could have been so easily overlooked with so many payments being made right now. It felt so good to tell her the news. Thank you for such an easy-to-follow system, Lisa in Organize 365. It makes caregiving more peaceful. Do you have an Organize 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Okay, this is part two in our what kinds of work do we do at home? And I can't even tell you how impactful it was when I was reading the Phoenix Project and then ultimately The Goal. And I realized that there were all these different kinds of work in work, but I also realized they were also different kinds of work at home. And as we talk about the next two kinds of work, they are work that often doesn't get talked about a lot. And sometimes I get requests to help with this kind of work, and I didn't realize that it was a different kind of work. I think when we can label things and talk about things and think about things differently, you see things differently. And being able to quantify and identify these four different kinds of work really are going to help you have conversations with other people inside of Organize 365, which will also know what we're talking about with these different kinds of work. But also maybe relate to other people in your family who have more of a business mindset. And when you could start relating to the work at home in business terms, they're going to see it differently as well versus just all housework or all optional. It's not all housework and it's not all optional. So I've been talking for years and years and years. The whole premise of the whole Organize 365 company is that my entire life was reactive. Like, I just felt like everybody was telling me what to do. The economy, my family, the job, my stuff was, my entire life was just reacting to my environment. And I purposely drew a line in the sand in December of 2011, quit my job, came home and said, that's it. I mean, sink or swim, I'm in charge of my life from here on out, and I'm going to start by taking back control of my home. I'm going to be proactive and proactively attack my life versus living in this reactive life. And the way that they label these kinds of work is this reactive life I had been living was basically just dealing with firefighting kind of work. And unless you draw a line in the sand and you say, I'm going to do planned work. I'm going to work towards more planned work. I know I'll never get to 100% of planned work, but I'm going to work to the point where 80% of my day is planned, and I'll leave the rest for the other three kinds of work. But I'm done with the adrenaline rush and the hero complex of being able to get something done at the last minute, just under the wire. Like, I'm done living like that. I want to live a more proactive, a more planned life. And I want to put into motion the things I need to move out of this firefighting flight and flight feel that I always have. That's as far as I thought it went. Never thought there were any other kinds of work. And then when I heard these other two kinds of work, I was like, duh. Like, how did I not realize those were a thing? So let me tell you what the first one is. The first one, and this is one that we do get requests often to Organize 365. Will you help us with our maintenance work? That is the third kind of work, maintenance work. Lisa, do you have checklists, daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, annual checklists? How often do we maintain things? How often do you change your sheets? Not very often. That's all I'm going to say about that. How often do you clean your oven? When it's dirty. That's how often I tend to do maintenance-related tasks when it becomes obvious that they need to be done. I don't have a daily checklist that I go through every day. I don't have a weekly checklist I go through every day. It's mostly because, I don't know, those kind of lists kind of overwhelm me, and I don't want to do them if they don't need to be done. So as I've mentioned before, we have somebody that cleans our house. I've both cleaned houses and had somebody that cleans my house. I like when somebody cleans my house. But as we all know, when the pandemic happened in the spring, all of that stopped. And I found out, 7 weeks. If you want to know how often you need to dust your house, the answer is 7 weeks. Dust will start to accumulate before then, but it is not really noticeable. And then all of a sudden, at 7 weeks, it's like you can write your name on any piece of furniture or flat surface you have in your house. How it accumulates overnight between week 6 and 7, I have no idea, but it does, and it does so uniformly in your entire house. That's the first thing I want you to know about maintenance tasks. If you are going on Pinterest or the internet to find a list of what you should be cleaning and maintaining in your house every day, every week, every month, every quarter, every year, you will find thousands of lists. Not only will you find thousands of lists, they'll be beautiful. They'll be in whatever color and style you want. You can have it in a vintage pink with florals. You can have it in bright colors. You can have it in black and white. You can have it on a poster board. You can have it on a chalkboard. You can, any way you want, you could get all of these lists. Go find them. I'm not going to make all of these lists. My question to you is, how often do you need to do it? Not how often are you doing it, or how often is it done on the really cute checklist that you found, but how often do you need to do it? I will tell you right now, growing up, I needed to vacuum our house at 5 o'clock every single day. Every single day had to be done. I did that when we were married until I lost it and yelled at my husband because he was not appreciative of the fact that I was vacuuming the house every single day at 5 o'clock before he got home from work. To which he said, "Why are you vacuuming the house? I mean, it's great and all, but I never asked you to vacuum the house." Are you sure that everything that you're doing on your maintenance checklist either needs to be done at all? There are some things that don't need to be done at all, or needs to be done as often as you're doing it. Now, my neighbor is an artist. I mean, an amazing artist. And she cleaned her house top to bottom and washed all of the towels every day. Every single day. Every day. The kids would get on the bus. She'd come in. She'd start a load of laundry. She'd clean all the bathrooms, the entire house. She'd clean the kitchen. She didn't get started working till like, I don't know, noon, one. And she often would work late into the night. She loved working late into the night. And I said, "Joni, you don't have to do this stuff every day. Like, seriously, you do not have to clean the floor every day. You don't have to do this." She goes, "I like to do it and I want to do it. And I do better work if I do this." And so, I mean, she's a world-renowned artist. What am I going to say? Okay, clean that floor again. You go. You may be the same way. You just like it. Like, I'm clearly not a germaphobe. I know people who are, and my house is fine. Like, they'll come in my house. But if they were here very long, they'd be like, it's just not to their standard. It's just not. I don't clean that much. It's fine. It's fine. It's not perfect. Their houses are perfect. I mean, you could eat off the floor perfect. And I'm not exaggerating. That's fine. You don't have to. Your standard is your standard. And what you're comfortable with is perfect for you and your family. Just make sure that you are maintaining the level at which you want to maintain your house, not the level at which you think I'm maintaining my house or your mother-in-law maintains her house or whatever. Like, have a family meeting, ask what the family likes about the house when it's cleaned, when it's whatever, And also, a couple podcasts ago, I admitted, and I let you know, I don't always do the dishes. Now, currently, our dishwasher is broken. And so now, ironically, I'm doing dishes like morning and evening so that there are no dishes left out at all, which is kind of odd. But I am. Like, there's never any dishes left because the dishwasher is broken, and I'm just trying to stay on top of it because I can't throw them in the dishwasher, so I'm just trying to stay on top of it until we get another dishwasher. Of course, I washed the dishes before it went in the last dishwasher because it really just sanitized. It didn't really get any gunk off, so I still am doing the same amount of cleaning that I was before. But for whatever reason, in my mind, now that the dishwasher is broken, I have to do dishes twice a day. But when the dishwasher is working, I only do dishes like two or three times a week. And here's why. I'm not in my kitchen very often, so I don't see them. I live with college-age kids who, you know, eat at the most bizarre hours of the day. So it's not like the kitchen is ever truly clean. Whenever I clean it, an hour later, there's some random cup or bowl or whatever that's come from wherever. So it's never totally done. So I just do it a couple of times a week. And I know that that sounds like messy. I guess I feel like it sounds messy. But my thought to you is, if it really bothered my kids or my husband, they would do the dishes. And do you know how often that happens? Almost never. I can't say never because once in a blue moon, Greg will clean the kitchen and he'll do all of the dishes. And then he lets me know that he did all of the dishes. But no, they don't. They just drop their bowls there. They add their plates. As it just keeps piling bigger and bigger, they pretend it's a game of Jenga. Like it doesn't bother them at all that the dishes aren't done. And it doesn't bother me at all that the dishes aren't done. So I only do it a couple of times a week. So I really challenge you, go ahead and make a list of your maintenance tasks that you want to get done on a daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly, and yearly time. And then make sure that's how often you want to do them. And if you're looking for inspiration and you want to know what these lists would be, inside of the 100-Day Home Organization Planner, we do give you a list of cleaning in the back. And we also give you a list in the front of regular maintenance tasks. But if you want to get a true, like, this is your project and you want to figure out once and for all what are your checklists going to be, go to Pinterest, download them all, print them out, make a list, be like, oh, I forgot that, you know, you wash the dog bowls or whatever. Like, put it on your list so that you can have a master list and then just start checking them off on your list. And then my goal is always to beat my time. If it takes me 30 minutes to do my daily checklist, can I get it done in 29? Can I get it done in 28 minutes? Ooh, today it was 25. Like, I'm always just trying to race the clock. That's how I motivate myself to get it done. Another thing I have started doing for maintenance tasks, which, I mean, you're going to be like, really? You weren't already doing that? I know. Sometimes it just takes us a while to find the thing that's going to work. I always forget to give the dog his flea and tick medicine. And luckily, he goes to doggy daycare twice a month because they always say, when was the last time you gave him his flea and tick medicine? So it reminds me to do it. And now that Abby has Frank, we have to do Frank's too. So now we're doing it together. And then we have electric collars because we have an electric fence for the dogs. And Hunter's battery lasts 2 years, but Frank is tiny. And so his battery is tiny and it only lasts 6 months. And I'm like, oh my gosh, have to make sure these collar batteries stay. And I was like, how am I going to remember this? And I started to try to put in the planner. I thought, you know what? I just do it on the 6th. I always do it on the 6th. Went in my Google Calendar, made an appointment, and I reset it for every month for the flea and tick and every 6 months for Frank's battery and every 2 years for Hunter's battery. I thought, wow, that was easy. And I learned that from my sister. She said that's how she does all her Organize 365 weekly tasks. Like, they're just tasks at the top of her calendar. I was like, huh, who knew? Now, I'm resistant to that because I'm not really good at digital electronic things and having to log into anything additional, but I always log into my Google Calendar. So I'm going to start working towards making some of my bigger maintenance tasks that way. So maintenance tasks, figure out what you're going to do, make a list, try to beat your time, and then how can you automate them? How can you automate the reminders, or how can you automate the actual task if at all possible? So the Google Calendar helps me remember about the dog medication. Also, I automated almost all of our bill pay last year. Finally, it took me forever. You wouldn't believe how long it takes to get some of these bills automated. And so now, during my Sunday basket time, that takes very little time. It used to take me, because I also reconcile my checkbook, 45 minutes to an hour every single Sunday. Now it's just 10 to 15 minutes. So you can work on making those maintenance tasks take less time and be more repetitive. Who can think of what the fourth kind of work is? So if we have reactive work, proactive work, and maintenance work, this, I'm like, oh, I would have never guessed. Like, if you had given me, I don't know, years, I don't think I would have ever identified this kind of work. And now that I know that it is a kind of work, I'm like, oh, yes, that makes so much sense. The fourth kind of work is change orders. Mind blown, right? I know. Yes, this is when things change. When things change, it causes work because you have to move whatever it is to somewhere else. And I identified, not through this book, but for us at home, I identified four different kinds of change orders, some of which you actually put in. They aren't put on you. So let's talk about what a change order is, like what you would normally think a change order is, and then a couple of extra change orders that I purposely put into my work list. So the most obvious change order is if you have a change in people, or the second one would be a change in assignment. So like when the pandemic happened and Joey's college went to online instead of in person, the school changed their assignments and they changed the people that they'd be working with and who they'd be reporting to and all those things. And so that created work. Like Joey and I got on the phone and we figured out, okay, here's the new work, here's the new people, here's the new playbook. Like just the act of changing the work causes work. If you're going to change who's coming to a meeting, if you're going to add someone in or take someone out, do you have to give them permissions to the documents that you're going to be using? Do you need to bring them up to speed? Do you have to give them a past recording of a past meeting? Whatever. Like, how do you add someone into a meeting? Or if you just change the time of meeting, instead of meeting at 10, we're going to meet at 2. I will tell you, I have regular meetings with quite a few people inside of my company, and I added in a meeting with my sister Emily, director of marketing, on Tuesdays, and I added it in at 2 o'clock. But looking forward, there were some days where 2 o'clock was taken up for the rest of the year. And it was like 4 or 5 different days. Like it wasn't just like 1 or 2 off days. So I was like, all right, let's change this meeting on this day to this time. Let's change this day and this time. And I said, you know what? I'm usually available for a meeting on Tuesday at either 10:30 or 2. And I looked at all 5 of the dates where I couldn't meet at 2, and I could meet at 10:30 on all 5 of those dates. I said, great. Our meeting time is at 2 o'clock on Tuesday. And if it can't be at 2, it's at 10:30. And so we went through and we changed those 5 to 10:30. And now I know going forward that yes, there can be a change in meetings, especially standing meetings that you have every week, because Tuesday is a podcast recording day. So sometimes I need to move my meetings around. But instead of saying, well, this week it's at 2 and next week it's at 1 and the week after that it's at 10 and then we're going to do 4. And then I was like, no, when I meet with you, it'll be 10:30 or it will be 2. If 2 doesn't work, we're going to make 10:30 work. I'm going to figure it out. And then at least there are changes, but there are only 2 changes. There's not an infinite amount of changes. People changes or changes in assignment for me in my business are really easily done by just dragging whatever the task is on the computer to the new time or modifying the time that I have assigned to that task. I just go in, I make it more, I make it less, I move it around, I change the color, whatever. The work that comes from change orders is in the changing of the activity. Usually the meeting and the contents of the meeting didn't change. It's the location changed or the people who were in the meeting changed. That creates additional work that we normally don't associate with a change. The more you can get used to the fact that this is just life and this just happens and not adding a lot of drama or thought to it, the faster you'll be able to get through this kind of work and just move it around. Just move it on your calendar. Okay, great, done, gone. The work is done because you moved it on your calendar. The other thing I would say that is really proactive work that goes along with change orders or even maintenance, I would say like planned meetings that you do every single week are probably maintenance as well, is to book in an extra 10, 15, 30, 60 minutes after your planned work for change order work. So like for us, we have a leadership meeting. And after the leadership meeting, I take lunch and then I schedule an hour in the afternoon for leadership follow-up. And basically, I'm blocking off that time on my calendar for any maintenance that needs to be done to that leadership agenda. I need to say what happened in the meeting and I need to clean up the agenda for next time. So that's maintenance. And then change orders. Like the whole entire point of us meeting as a leadership team is to surface any issues there are, make decisions, move things between different departments, give approvals. So there's sometimes like planned work I need to do, but there's also sometimes change order work that needs to be done. This deadline's going to be pushed back. This one's going to be pushed up. I need to follow up with this vendor, et cetera, et cetera. The same can be true of your work at home. If you are going to take a whole day and you're going to do planned work and you're going to do your entire kitchen in 1 6-hour Saturday, which is not how we have it set up in the 100-day program, but you've already been through two rounds of the program and you just want to get all 3 weeks done in one day and you really want to establish the breakfast and lunch cabinet because, hello, that was a brilliant idea from last podcast. And why hadn't you thought of that? That we're doing that and we're doing it this Saturday. That's planned work. Maintenance work is going to be definitely replenishing that awesome breakfast and lunch cabinet, which kids are really going to love, even if they're working from home, especially if they're schooling from home. You might want to really stock that one up so that they can be more self-sufficient during the day. And then you're going to have change orders related to that. Like, we don't like chocolate chip cookies anymore. We would rather have oatmeal raisin bars or whatever it is. Like, there are going to be change orders in what they want to have in there, but also change orders in that, oh, well, I got through my day and I ran out of energy and now I want to order pizza instead of making dinner because I used up all my energy in doing my planned work. And that's another kind of change order that I personally have identified that I didn't see identified in any of these works is your energy level. Sometimes your plans change because other people change them. Sometimes your plans change because it's a change in assignment. But sometimes your plans change because you run out of energy. Right? And why don't we talk more about this? Like, you get to the end of the day and you're like, I just am not feeling it. We are ordering a pizza. I don't want to go to that thing. I'm going to stay home instead. So I'm going to make a change order because I have run out of energy. That's a reactive way of changing your schedule or changing your plans because of energy. I like to proactively change my schedule based on energy. So, for example, inside of Organize 365, I do different kinds of work. I do podcast recording, like I'm doing right now. I do content creation, whether it's writing another book or any other content that I need to create. I do research where I'm looking for vendors and suppliers and coaches and programs that we're going to use in the future, or reading books or learning, you know, for whatever concepts I'm going to teach. And then I do meetings with other people. Now, of all of those things, content creation, podcasts, research, and having meetings with other people, you may say that the most draining of those would be the meetings with other people. And for me, that's the easiest work I do. Eat cake. I mean, like, if you told me right now that in 5 minutes I have to go meet with somebody about something, I'd be like, great, where's my, let me just make a coffee. I'm on my way. Like, no problem. I meet with anybody, anywhere. And when I have meetings, like, I just have them back to back to back. And I didn't really think about this, but on Wednesday is meeting day, and some of our team members are in all of the meetings with me on Wednesday, and it's four really long meetings. And at the end, I'm like, any other meetings we've got? And they're little wet noodles on the floor going, oh my gosh, no, and I can't talk to you for 3 days after this either. Like, it's too much talking, too much thinking. And I'm like, I could just keep going. I love it. Such an extrovert. Totally get energy from other people. I love meetings. The hardest work I do, content creation, podcasts and writing books. Not because I don't like doing it. I love doing it. But I have got to be in the right energy. I can research all the time. I can research. I get in meetings all the time. But in order to record this podcast for you, I have to have the right energy. I have to have the right frame of mind. I have to have the right ideas to share. And this podcast was supposed to be recorded a week ago, and I kept moving it all week long on my calendar because it just wasn't the right energy. Like, I ended up having a kid home. That's not the right energy. That we're going to do yard work. That's not it. Like, things were going to get interrupted. And I like to record like 3 or 4 podcasts in a row and just have like a podcast recording day. I don't want to record one here, one there, one the other thing. Same with writing a book. Like, I wrote 7,500 words the other day because I just sat down and I started writing, and I love it. Like, I love writing for 8 hours straight. I'm one of those people where I could eat the same foods every day. I could do the same activity every day. I just like doing a whole bunch of things at one time. But if the words aren't flowing and I don't really have an idea of how I want to write that chapter, it's not a good book writing day for me. And so I will often at the beginning of the day or the night before look at what I have on my calendar for the next day, and I will often push things or rearrange things on the day or change the color of things. My executive assistant, Pat, I mean, it has to be entertaining, like, to just, she has access to my calendar and all of my calendars, personal, my corporate work, and then my corporate meeting calendar. So she can see them all just like I can see them all. Like, it just has to be funny to just sometimes, as you see me moving stuff around, to just sit back with your coffee and be like, her husband might say, "What are you watching?" "Oh, I'm watching Lisa rearrange your calendar." And then I go back and I write in everything I've done as if it's a journal, because I'm kind of trying to figure out some more time tracking and time hacking, as you know I am. So change orders. Change orders can be external, change orders can be internal, and change orders can be purposeful. And as long as I have enough time and I have my podcast recorded far enough out, I can change the day that I record podcasts so that when I'm in the flow and I am having a great day recording podcasts, it's super easy to record, you know, 2, 3, 4 podcasts, get them uploaded and sent over to the team. But if my flow isn't right or things are going on in the house and I just have to meet a deadline, it's just much harder for me to record a podcast, and I just frankly won't do it anymore. It's like, it's not going to be a good podcast by the time I'm done. All right. I'm giving you permission to make your own change orders and make your own maintenance checklists. Just because we have work to do in our household doesn't mean we have to do it on a certain day. We have to do it a certain amount of time at all. Like, you may decide, okay, great, I'm going to vacuum once a week. I'm going to change the sheets once a week. I'm going to go to dusting once a month. Whatever your thing is. And then when it's Tuesday morning and you have dusting on your checklist, you can push it to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever. Or you could say, you know what, I'm going to skip it this month entirely, and I know it's going to be really bad next month, and I'm just going to do it next month, and I'm not going to worry about it. I am giving you permission. What's the worst that's going to happen if you only dust once a month and you skip a month? The worst that's going to happen is 1 week before you're going to dust again, people are going to notice. And if you want, you could just do it then at week 7 and then wait 5 more weeks to the next one. Like, nothing bad is going to happen. You're not going to be less of a housekeeper because your dust got away from you. And maybe you'll have more joy in your life because you read another novel, or you got another chapter in, or you started horseback riding, or whatever you want to do. Like, I give you the permission to loosen the standards that you've set on yourself that are so high, and your family may not even be noticing, and you, it may be robbing you of all the joy. Like, if you're like my neighbor Joni and you want to do it because you love to do it and you do it for yourself, then do it. Don't stop anything that you've been doing. But if you're doing it because your mom did, or you feel like I'm doing it, or somebody else is doing it, or it's the expected thing to do, there is no expectation. You have full permission on your maintenance tasks, whatever you want them to be. And you have full permission in your household to make change orders, to have pizza night be Tuesday instead of Fridays, to have your organizing day be Thursday nights instead of Saturday mornings. Like, you can do whatever you want to do. Try it. You may find, like me, getting up at 5 a.m. and writing, like, that didn't happen. So what's my next time going to be? What's the next thing going to be? Try things without worrying about whether there's no failure. It's just experimenting. So experiment and see what will work better for you. All right, you guys, have a great week.